Welcome to Optimize Your Retirement, presented by Higher Ground Financial Group. This is the radio show and podcast dedicated to helping you navigate common financial challenges on the path to a successful retirement. Tax attorney Daniel Rasby and his father Raz have a passion for guiding people towards financial freedom by helping individuals understand and reduce the three biggest retirement killers: risk, fees, and taxes. Now, let's begin. Here are your hosts, Daniel and Raz.
Welcome back to our show. I'm Daniel Rasby. I'm here with my father, Imran Rasby. I am a tax attorney. We both work together at Higher Ground Financial Group.
I love working with my son. It's a lot of fun, and we get the chance to be in each other's lives. But we really have focused more on helping people in retirement than anything else.
Yes, and you can go to our website and find out more. It's riskfeestaxes.com. Those are the three biggest killers in retirement. riskfeestaxes.com. Schedule a free video call with us, and we'll be happy to talk to you about your individual situation.
So if we talk about risk first, right? Risk. And a lot of advisors will say, well, you got to diversify, right? You got to have different sectors, different markets, maybe international, maybe local, maybe whatever, energy market, but that's how diversification works. Well, that is a type of diversification, but really they're all in the same boat, because they're all affected by the overall market. And these days, the market is so interconnected that if the U.S. market takes a dive, then Japanese market takes a dive, and the Chinese market takes a dive, right? Every place takes a dive, European market takes a dive. So those interconnected models really do have a detrimental effect. It's all in the same pond. So there's a different type of diversification we talk about.
There's two kinds. There's diversification of assets between opinion and contract-based assets, and then there's tax diversification, which is also very important and also highly misunderstood. People get opposite advice from what they probably should be doing in many cases. So let's talk about
opinion-based first.
So opinion-based versus contract-based.
So first of all, what is an opinion-based asset? That means it's somebody else's opinion, right? Whatever you're selling, if somebody's buying it, in fact, we had a friend that, you know, I was trying to buy something from him, and he said, the price is this. I said, that's way too much. He said, well, you're buying, I'm not selling. Because he wasn't selling. But if he really wanted to sell, then the price would come down. So that's opinions based on somebody else's opinion, right? The market, anything in the market, your house,
your... So if I say my house is worth $1 million, but you only want to pay $800,000 for it.
And if you don't want to sell it, you can keep it. It's worth $1 million to you. But if you want to sell it, and the only person that's making an offer is me, $800,000, then that's what's going to worth.
That's what's worth. So I don't get to decide what it's worth. It's right. The buyer that gets to decide. So most of the assets that you have are opinion-based assets. If you think about all your money and net worth, all your wealth, most of the things that you have, their value is based on somebody else's opinion.
Yeah. My opinion could be that crypto is worth $1 million of Bitcoin, but it's not. It's worth like 80,000 or whatever it is worth now. But if my opinion is $1 million, I can hold it. So long as I hold it, it's going to be worth whatever I want it to be. But if I need to sell it, it's going to be based on somebody else's opinion.
And so that's the problem with most of the things you think of and to invest in are based on market opinion. If you have stocks, and people say, well, I moved to bonds to be safer. Bonds are also based on somebody's opinion. The contract, if you hold the individual bond, it pays you a certain interest rate every year until it's mature. But the value of that, if you have to unload it, that's going to be based on market opinion. So bonds are not guaranteed against loss. And bond funds certainly aren't. Many people lost a lot of money in bond market recently.
Right.
But other things, real estate you mentioned, crypto, even gold, right? There's people buy gold because gold would be a great hedge against inflation. That might be true. In fact, it probably is true, but it's still based on somebody else's opinion. It's the overall market opinion of what that's worth. So what is a contract-based asset? That's really, when you diversify, you want to move not just in opinion assets, but you want to move into contract assets. So what is that?
Cash, CDs, annuities, life insurance, rental properties, again, because you have a mortgage, you have a rental contract, those are contract-based assets. Anything that you can have a control over, right? Those are contracts.
So if you know what the value is going to be, at least a certain minimum value that's guaranteed in by somebody.
Even a mini bond or treasury, if you're going to hold it till it's maturity, that's a contract. The problem occurs when you want to sell it early and the market goes up and down, that's opinion.
And most of you that have bonds in your portfolio, that you don't actually have individual bonds. You have a bond fund,
right?
Which is an opinion asset. An individual bond by itself would be a contract-based asset potentially, but only if you hold it to maturity. So all of these
and,
other things.
And the same with gold funds and stuff. I mean, it's a fund. You don't actually own the gold. If you want to own gold, we can help you do that. There's ways to do that. But you should actually own the gold and have it physically with you.
Exactly.
If you own a gold fund, that's even worse.
And I definitely wouldn't recommend putting the gold in your IRA for a number of reasons. You're a lot more limited on what you can invest in inside the IRA. It's very hard to get it out. And, you know, many of the reasons that people buy gold would be very
difficult.
It would be very difficult to deal with if it was in an IRA. So all those things, you know, point to diversify between opinion-based and contract-based asset. And when you're looking at contract-based assets, there are really three main places. It's either going to be guaranteed by a bank or an insurance company or the federal government or state government. So either government, bank, or insurance company. Now, out of those, generally speaking, insurance companies will offer much higher interest rates while still being protected from loss. So that's why many of our clients do use those types of accounts. But there are plenty of other things. And as you mentioned, rental properties are great. We love our clients to have rental properties because the rents can go up with inflation, but the costs stay closer to the same, with the mortgage being the biggest cost of the rental property. That's at a fixed rate mortgage that stays the same. So that's one type of diversification. And next time your advisor tells you you're diversified because you have many different stocks and funds within the stock market, remember this conversation that we're having is,
yeah, ask him,
this is
how much of it is guaranteed? How much of it can I not lose money? Because that's true diversification. When you have that control, then you have a much better spending ability. And the reason I say that is because then you don't have to worry about when the market drops and the opinion drops, you can still spend money. Whereas if all your money is in the market, and it drops, and you got to spend money, now you've taken a double hit. That's not a good thing for long-term success.
So what's the other type of diversification? The other type of diversification, and again, you can go to our website, riskfeestaxes.com. Again, that's riskfeestaxes.com, to schedule a free call to talk about all these things. The second type of diversification is tax diversification. And this is very, very important. And it's not something you hear from a lot of advisors because...
So what do you mean tax diversification? I mean, I thought everybody's got to pay the same amount of taxes.
Well, there are different ways to tax different investments. And, you know, there's just to name a few, right? You can have a brokerage account that's in the stock market that you pay a capital gain because you've held this stock for more than 12 months. You can pay a capital gain, but it all, maybe it pays you a dividend or interest. And that's a short-term gains, which is taxed at income tax rates, which are different. Then there's IRAs, which you don't pay any tax at all on ever, right? Well, no, until you retire and start taking money out, then you pay a lot of tax.
Yeah, that's a funny thing that you mentioned that, because we have a lot of clients that are actually surprised they got to pay taxes on their IRAs and the 401ks.
But they do. You didn't pay it before. It was due.
You postponed it. It was never gone away. You just postponed it. And now it's gotten bigger and bigger, and now you got to pay more taxes.
So it still is. Those taxes are still due. If you're in the IRA or 401k or SEP IRA, those taxes have been deferred. They've been postponed, and now you have to pay them when you take it out, but that's income tax. Then you have Roth IRA, which you've already paid the tax. That means all the growth is tax-free. That's a great thing. It's still potentially subject to estate taxes, though, but there are no income tax, no capital gains tax. Life insurance, same way. No tax on the gains. If it's done properly, there's no tax on the gains even while you're alive, if you access it correctly. And there's no tax at death. Again, capital gains or income tax, there's no tax. If it's in an irrevocable trust, then there's no estate tax either. A Roth can't be in an irrevocable trust, right? So all these different ways to be taxed, and it sounds like a lot of different things, which it is. It is a lot. And that's why you hire a tax attorney to navigate this for you and with you, to help diversify your money into different tax buckets. And traditionally, if you ask your advisor, should I have different tax buckets? They'll say, oh yeah, sure. Have your brokerage and have the rest in the IRA. And say, if you say, should I do Roth conversions? Oh, well, I mean,
no,
the jury's still out on whether that's going to save you money or not.
It's going to cost you too much money. And the reason they're worried about that is because whenever you pay money, you take it out of the brokerage account and they're managing less, having less fees.
So if you convert to Roth, it might hurt your advisor's bottom line.
Yes.
Because most advisors charge an annual fee based on, or a month or a quarterly fee based on the amount of money you have with them. And if you paid taxes to make it Roth or move it to life insurance or whatever will be tax-free, well, that's less money because the tax money came from somewhere and it's money that you would have invested otherwise.
And the funny thing is, if you keep it in the IRA and stuff, you're paying fees to the broker on money that's the government's.
Right.
So you're not only paying fees on your own money, you're paying fees on money that the government owns, and just give it to the government, get it out of your estate so you don't have to pay the fees, you don't have to worry about the taxes. One of the things is, if you don't do that in a timely manner, then you get to 73 or 75, whatever age your RMDs, required minimum distributions, come in, then you're going to probably be forced into a higher tax bracket for the rest of your life. And IRMA, which, if you don't know what IRMA is, that's additional premium for Medicare when you probably paid too much money from taxes for Medicare to begin with. Now you're going to pay more because you're making more, not because you want to make more, because you're forced to make more.
And I talked to a client just a few weeks ago. We had that conversation. She realized that she's going to pay a lot more for Medicare if we do these conversions because it's going to drive up her income so much. And she said, why would I do that? And I said, well, if you don't do it, once your RMDs start, that's going to drive you up into the higher bracket for Medicare anyway, but it's going to be for the rest of your life. At least if you do it now, it's just for the next 5 or 10 years that it affects you, but not the rest of your life. So you might as well do it now. And then, you know, that makes sense. So there are different tax buckets. And if you have, if you're like most people that listen to this program, you have a few million dollars saved, $1, $2, $3, $5 million saved in mostly in 401k and IRA accounts. You might have some real estate. You might have a couple of rental properties. That's great. But most of the people that listen to the program and then call us, they have most of their money in their IRA and 401k money. Well, there are ways to get it out. It doesn't mean you can do it all at once. You can do it over time, but we want to make sure you have multiple tax buckets. And if there's one tax bucket that you don't have at the end, that's going to be the IRA, because I really don't like IRA accounts. For most people, we want to get rid of those as soon as possible. But as soon as practically possible. We don't want to, you know, overpay on taxes. So if there's a way to shift over to different tax-free buckets early on, that's a good thing.
And one of the things you said, you know, about the IRAs. Yes, when you retire, spend your IRAs first before your cash, okay?
Yes.
Before your cash, before your CDs, before your brokerage account, spend your IRAs first.
That's very important. It's the opposite, in fact, of what many brokers tell you. They say, well, spend down your brokerage account first. So cash first, then brokerage account, and then IRAs last. And no, that's not good, because now you're just deferring the taxes for longer and longer in the future. And if you defer them long enough that you only take a few required distributions, then you die, you leave it to your kids, the kids are not allowed to defer those taxes. They have to spend it all within 10 years. So most of this advice that was given in these articles that were written, they were written using the old rules. The Secure Act requires them, they cannot do a stretch IRA anymore. They have to pay all that tax within 10 years. And if you're going to be liquidating a bunch of money from the market to put in some annuity, for example, that you may have heard from either us or somebody else, if you heard it from us, we're not telling you to liquidate your brokerage account. We want you to use your IRA for that, because
it stays as an IRA.
There's no new tax. So make sure whatever investment you're buying, and if it's real estate, you're going to buy real estate in retirement. Great idea, but do not do it inside of your IRA. A self-directed IRA that holds real estate is a bad idea for almost everybody.
And it gets rid of all the tax benefits that you would get with real estate.
Exactly. So don't just have good diversity between tax buckets. Make sure the buckets are invested in the right thing for that bucket. Go to our website, riskfeestaxes.com. Again, that's riskfeestaxes.com. And we'll look forward to talking to you soon.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Optimize Your Retirement. To take the next step and receive personalized guidance tailored to your specific financial situation, schedule your free call with Daniel and Raz from Higher Ground Financial Group. Visit riskfeestaxes.com. That's riskfeestaxes.com. Or call 888-263-HGFG. That's 888-263-4434. We look forward to hearing from you.
Any examples used are for illustrative purposes only and do not take into account your particular investment objectives, financial situation, or needs, and may not be suitable for all investors. It is not intended to predict the performance of any specific investment and is not a solicitation or recommendation of any investment strategy. Higher Ground Financial Group does not provide securities investment advice. No part of this program should be construed as advice to buy, hold, or sell any security. Any mention of securities is incidental and for educational purposes only. Legal and tax advice provided through Higher Ground Legal Incorporated, pursuant to signed retainer agreement, if applicable.